If you're in love, but you don't feel quite ready to commit to marriage, is living together a good idea? This is John Fuller, and Jim Daly and I discussed this and the impact that infatuation can have on a single's ability to discern good from bad with Gary Thomas, author of The Sacred Search.
Let's move a little further in that discussion, because in that fog, couples can make very disastrous decisions, even kids that are coming from Christian homes.
Yes.
This idea of cohabitation and the fact that, you know what, we just want to try living together before we get married because, you know, marriage is tough and we see mom and dad divorce and we want to make sure we're really compatible before we sign on the dotted line. That is not a good idea.
Every study shows that's a disastrous line of thinking.
In what way?
Well, one, that the success rate plummets when you do that. Two, you can't be seeking first the kingdom of God together and pursuing someone when you're in clear rebellion against God's word that sex is reserved.
So you're violating the first principle.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. The very thing that makes sex so helpful and healthy in marriage is what makes it so unhelpful and unhealthy prior to marriage. Mm. You know, guys get a kick of oxytocin following a sexual encounter that we don't get from any other human experience. Now, women walk around with more oxytocin in their brain. That's a neurochemical that just creates feelings of bonding and loyalty and affection. And because women walk around with more of that, they tend to be more relationally gifted and aware, and they don't always feel that same pop following sex that men do. But what happens, and it's God's brilliant design, he knows infatuation is going to fade. So he says, look, I'm going to give the guy the sex hormone, the sex drive. And every time he's with his wife, literally, neurologically, he's rebonding with her. Mm. Well, if I'm evaluating a relationship, I don't want to be rebonding with her. I need to be saying, is this person wise? And what I'm going to do then is I'm going to have to train my brain not to listen to that. And they've shown that that whole effect of oxytocin is blunted the more promiscuous you become. Mm. It's like you become callous to it. Mm. And so you're less likely to have that rebonding experience with your wife if you're going into marriage having done that before, particularly if you've lived with someone. You literally have to teach your brain, don't listen to the purpose of sex. You don't want to rebond with this person because you're not... You might not be in a lifelong relationship with them. Mm. And so you lose a very valuable God-created purpose of sex within marriage when you do that. Mm. Another aspect of the cohabitation is often the reason that singles will give me is that we want to try out if we're sexually compatible. Let me just say, without trying to be too negative, that's one of the most stupid things I've ever heard. Can I just tell singles, God is a brilliant creator and a brilliant engineer. When he created our bodies with certain nerve endings and certain body parts, sex works. It does. There are thousands of people that could satisfy you sexually. Sex works. But what usually causes frustration in marriage isn't sexual mechanics. It's character. It's bitterness. It's resentment. It's a lack of forgiveness. It's selfishness. It's narcissism. And so if you have two people of character seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness, they will be able to figure out how to have a more than rewarding sexual relationship long term. You don't have to check out the mechanics. You have a lifetime to figure that out. God knew what he was doing when he created sex. It works. It's just silly to think that it's something you try out as if somebody is auditioning to be a shortstop in the major leagues.